then you also want to work to have an inclusive culture among the women in your core. So that really means having individuals intentionally go out of their normal circle, I guess you might say. They'd have to go beyond the people that they would naturally like kind of float towards and be very like social and happy and inclusive of other women, like just asking them questions, learning about them, remembering them outside of women's ministries, connecting with them. And actually social media is really good for that.
Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. On today's episode, we welcome Katie Engel to the podcast. Katie is the Women's Ministry Secretary at the Royal Oak Core in Eastern Michigan. Katie is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom when it comes to just about everything, but particularly ministering to women. The Royal Oak Core is unique, and so is the ability to have a Women's Ministry Secretary, let alone a full committee dedicated to women's ministries. So avoid the temptation to compare your core to her core in any negative way. We really hope that you walk away from this episode hopeful and excited to try out a few of her simple, low-cost, low-risk ideas that she uses every day. Stick around to the very, very end of this episode because I need your help, and I'll explain how and why then. Enjoy this episode with Katie Engel. Hi, Katie Engel. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Hi. Great to be here. Hi, Sarah.
Hey. So good to see your face. Guys, this is Katie. She is the Women's Ministry Secretary at the Royal Oak Corps in the Eastern Michigan Division. And I have invited her on today because a lot of cool things have been happening from the Royal Oak Corps, and Katie's been a part of it for a while now. And I wanted to just get her on here so we could pick her brain and learn from her experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us.
Yep, I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Great. Okay, well, let's just go on that path and learn more about Katie Engel by letting you introduce yourself. But before you do that, I will give our listeners a little history that Katie and I have some history together. We were on the same summer mission team in 2007 to South Africa. And yes, we have seen each other in a lot of different ways.
It was lovely. Such a growing experience, right?
Yes, it was incredible. Incredible. So a little history of how Katie and I are connected. But yeah, so why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners, who is Katie Engel?
I am redeemed. I am a Salvationist. I've been a Salvationist my whole life, just growing up with a Salvationist set of parents. And my husband and I choose to go to the Salvation Army here in Royal Oak, where we live. And we bring our three children along so they can learn about Jesus too. I am a certified teacher and a women's ministry secretary, and I'm currently spending my days at home helping with my family and helping with the core.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's just jump in because I'm catching you during nap time, so let's not waste time. So one of the things that has stood out to me about Royal Oak is something I've heard you and other women from Royal Oak say. It's this kind of mantra and quote from author and Bible teacher Jen Wilkins, and that mantra is, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. And mm-hmm. She is referring to the Bible. She's referring to God, the Creator and Savior. And so this concept seems to have really affected the women of your core, because I've heard it from the mouths mm-hmm. of so many. So can you share the origin of this, where this came into your lives? And I believe it's from a Bible study that formed years ago. So how mm-hmm. has it affected them and the core as a whole?
Oh, let me tell you. A while back, I feel like it's been at least 7 years, some young moms at our core felt this need, like they needed some more depth in their lives with Jesus. And just trying to find time to make that happen with their busy schedules, they scheduled Monday nights, go work out at Planet Fitness for really cheap, and then go back to one of the ladies' houses where her kids were asleep and get into one of those video Bible studies where you just watch a Bible teacher on the TV using your DVD player and fill out like a workbook that they just got at a Christian bookstore. Very easy, and they just talked about it. And over time, we had some great talks. We learned a lot. And the cool thing about it was they weren't like fluffy Bible studies that were just like about a certain topic, kind of hopping all over the Bible. They were really meaty Bible studies, and they really taught us how to read the Bible by ourselves, like on our own, as Bible scholars. So we weren't just getting fed, we were also learning to feed ourselves. And as we became more disciplined in it, we found it changing every aspect of our lives. And we found a lot of joy in it, and it was really fun to share that with others. And so we kind of started inviting other moms to join us, and single ladies and ladies who didn't have kids in the home anymore, and just anybody who wanted to come. And since then, our Bible study got too big and we had to split up. So now we have Coffee and Jesus on Monday nights, and we have the original group too.
Wow, that's exciting. Because that wasn't really something, at least at that season of Royal Oak, that was happening, it sounds like.
Yeah, we had quite a few different Bible studies available. We had Women in the Word on, I think it was Wednesdays at 10. It was during the day. And then we had a couple at night. Like, there were actually quite a few.
Okay.
But we just needed something as young moms to not put in one more thing during the week, like where we would leave our families and go, but to be able to spend the whole evening with our families, put the kids to bed, and then go. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really miss any time with them, and we didn't have to pay for babysitters. So it met a lot of the needs. And then because those practical needs were met, I feel this is totally Salvation Army. When the practical needs were met, mm-hmm. then we were able to really focus on getting to know Jesus better. And we did. And we found it to be life-changing.
So how can you look at the life of the core and the congregation as a community and see that that has been a part of where you guys are now?
Yeah, I feel like as a core community, we're connecting a lot outside of Sunday worship in different Bible studies. So we're not just learning about God in Sunday school or during the teaching for Sunday morning worship. We're learning about Him in our own personal Bible studies, individually. And then we're also learning about God in these small group disciple building meetings where we have other people to connect with, to hold each other accountable, to ask questions that can sometimes be embarrassing and kind of awkward, but it's a safe, intimate space where we can kind of dig into it together and get a little messy, I guess, and like our own little lab where we can learn more about God and ask those questions.
So you've been in the role of Women's Ministry Secretary just since the summer. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
I was part of the committee, but now I'm the leader.
So you've been involved in women's ministries, I think you said, since you arrived at Royal Oak in 2009?
Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago.
So now you have the position of a women's ministries leader. So in those years, and now in a more saturated experience as a leader, what have you learned about the needs of women since you became a women's ministries leader?
Well, one thing I really learned about women is that when you're planning women's ministries, you really need to, you can't just meet them halfway with women, because so many women are caregivers, either of children or elderly adults or other women or anybody, because so many women are caregivers, a lot depends on a woman. So they really, from women's ministries, they need predictability, consistency, and they need women's ministries to come all the way to them, not just meet them halfway. So what that means is I have three representative things that women need. They need childcare, coffee, and Jesus.
Yes.
So not necessarily those specific things, but those three things represent a bigger idea. So childcare represents they need somebody, they need the consistency, they need you to start on time, they need you to end on time because there's other people counting on them. They got to get back to the other pressing needs of their life. They need childcare because they can come, but they have other people that rely on them. So maybe just take care of the kids for an hour if you want to really connect with the women. So we like to offer that in most of our women's ministries programming. And then coffee just gives them a reason to be there. It gives them refreshment. It gives them, you know, something structured that they can use as an excuse to get together. And also nourishes them. So it's not necessarily the coffee itself. It could be anything. It could just be water, or it could just be a chair to sit in to get together, but something, some reason to get together, either small group or big group, just a reason to get together for connection. And then Jesus, that's the most important thing that women need, because without Jesus, we're just one more thing to the schedule, and that's not what women need. So the Jesus part of it, knowing God, knowing the scriptures, knowing the spirit, that's what keeps women coming back, because that's really the living water that they can't get other places necessarily.
Can you go back to the childcare part and just what tips can you offer? Because I think that's often a struggle with, okay, we want to have a women's ministries event, and typically the people that provide childcare are the women. Often, I'm not, you know, some.
Yeah.
So what are you, what are your tips for recruiting childcare workers?
Well, some of our favorite resources for childcare are youth in our core, because we have a ministry for youth separate from the women's ministry. So it's more geared for them and their season that they're in right now for their life. So sometimes we'll call on a youth to help us with the kids, or like a couple girl guards. Other times a ranger will sometimes help, because they're great too and it's good training. And other times what we do, like for our Monday night Bible study, is we have a soldier from another corps nearby come over, and she's actually on the payroll, so she can cover it. And she takes care of the kids during Bible study, and then she's also got her own stuff going on at her corps.
Okay, those are good tips. So you've shared what you've learned about women. So what have you learned about God as during this time as a leader?
I have learned, this is going to seem so obvious, I know it. I learned that God is who he says he is. And that's kind of a big deal, because since the beginning, the deceiver has wanted us to believe that God isn't who he said or says he is, that he's a little bit less. A little bit less good, a little bit less reliable, a little bit less just, a little bit less holy, a little bit less righteous. But he is everything that he says he is, 100%, like all the way, not 99%, 100%. He's reliable, he's faithful, he's good, he's just, and I love it. It's good to see that again and again. You see it in the good stuff. It's harder to see in the good stuff, but you really see it in the hard times. And that is pretty beautiful.
Speaking of the hard times, something I've read in divisional reports or have heard in conversations when I've, you know, been out at like different women's ministries camps in the territory, and just sometimes through social media, is that some women don't feel included and don't feel welcomed in some women's ministries groups. And there's a number of reasons why, whether it's just due to the program timing, like you'd mentioned, sometimes there's events during the day that can feel make you feel forgotten because you don't have that kind of availability. Or you're entering into a group with a lot of history and you're just feeling like an outsider, or feeling like women's ministries is all crafts and tea parties and things of that nature, and just don't feel like they're connected to that kind of experience. What are some ways that you feel or have seen to be effective in creating space for all women?
Well, one thing that we do is we have a committee as part of our women's ministries planning so that we have a representation from all different kinds of women at our core, which is really nice to have a lot of different kinds of women at your core, you know, instead of all the same kind of women. So it helps to have representation on the committee because then we can hear from different perspectives and maybe things that I wouldn't think about, another woman on our committee could think about. And it's helpful to be mindful as you're planning and ask yourself, like, okay, so for this specific event, who would this be really naturally inclusive for? And who would this exclude? Like, or like if you can think of specific groups that sometimes might feel left out, then you could ask, would this feel inclusive for that group? Like, okay, a lot of women's ministries are geared toward married mothers. Mm-hmm. And so you might ask, okay, would this be exclusive or would this be excluding towards the single mothers, or would this be feel exclusive towards women without children, who are still mothering in a lot of ways? Just, you just want to be mindful of how might this come across to them. And then you also want to work to have an inclusive culture among the women in your core. So that really means having individuals intentionally go out of their normal circle, I guess you might say. They'd have to go beyond the people that they would naturally like kind of float towards and be very like social and happy and inclusive of other women, like just asking them questions, learning about them, remembering them outside of women's ministries, connecting with them. And actually social media is really good for that because it's easy to just hop on Facebook or Messenger or something and just drop in a little hello for somebody who you didn't necessarily see that week for church or something else, Bible study or something, but you could connect with them just really quick using that method.
Well, speaking of social media, you're just giving me all the best segues.
Yes.
Thank you, Katie. Something that Royal Oak is doing really well, and I think you and well, you have like a team of women, but I know you're definitely at the helm of it, is using and maximizing the free resource. Of course, there's some cost if you choose to use it, but for the most part, it's a free resource to help social media, is to engage with people, with women, with the community in a way that we haven't had available to us in the past. So how do you use social media for women's ministries?
I love using social media. The first thing I want to say with social media is that you have to be careful that you're not only using social media, because that would be exclusive toward the women who don't have access to the internet, whether it's mm-hmm. for financial reasons or because they don't know how to use the internet or they just prefer not to use it. So social media is a really good way to communicate, but it can't be your only way to communicate. So that's a really good, another good way to be inclusive of all women coming to your core, is to like over communicate, use email, use a bulletin, use social media, use Sunday morning announcements, mm-hmm. and like just every way of communicating that you can, use them all. And that will include as many people as possible. But to use social media for women's ministries, it's really great because a lot of women feel isolated during the week. And social media is a great way to like kind of feel like you're connected, even though it's only virtually. You can still, through that virtual connection, receive real encouragement. So we like to keep updates on our women's ministries Facebook page, and we have an Instagram account that's growing slowly, and we have a monthly newsletter that we share on social media, and so we just like to connect one-on-one on social media too, just to check in with ladies and communicate like upcoming Bible study dates or like the social stuff that we have coming up. Like we've got a book swap coming up in April, and then in May we have a DIY perfume event, and then we have our annual fundraiser coming up in June, and we promote all of those through social media. So I find resources through, like, they have resources available for churches where they just try to teach churches how to use social media. One of them is called Pro-Church Tools. I think it's out of Toronto, and they just offer free advice for churches on how to increase their reach with social media, how to get the word out, because social media can really be like a free megaphone just to make announcements and get information out to people who are looking for it. So that's one thing. Also, there's a lot of tools out there for like making your social media posts interactive and engaging. Like having a, like having the right kind of photo can really make or break your social media too. So there's some free resources out there like Unsplash.
Yeah, I use them.
That's one of my favorites to just get really high quality photos to use for free completely. And you just can use that for your social media, whether you're advertising a potluck or a fundraiser or whatever.
Great. Can you talk a little bit about the market?
Oh, yeah. The market is our favorite, and it's also a lot of work. we start planning our market in June. The market is in June, but we start planning in January, so it takes half the year. And what it is, it's just one day where we rent out our core parking lot and our core gym. We just block off spaces, and people who have like their own business, like a jewelry maker or a candle maker or somebody who goes and finds things at thrift stores and then sells like the cream of the crop from the thrift stores, will rent a space, kind of like a mom to mom sale, except it's all like handmade stuff or vintage stuff. So we call it the Royal Oak Vintage and Artisan Market, and we promote it like crazy on social media. Post every day, sometimes twice a day. And we just pull in vendors. We charge them to rent the space. And then they come on the day. They set up their booths. They sell 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have food trucks. We have vendors that sell, like, little mini donuts and cotton candy. And everybody's happy and fed. And whether it's raining or not, like, people from the community come over. They bring their dogs. They bring their kids. We've got the playground open and the core grounds. And all the vendors just keep the money that they sell that day. They don't pay us any commission. All the money is just from the vendors renting the space. And we usually get like 60 vendors, I want to say.
A ton.
And we charge them about $100 a space.
Wow, that's a pretty significant fundraiser.
Yeah, and it's worth the work.
Yeah. What if you could break it down into like categories of work or preparation, what would those categories include?
Well, we have a committee for the market, and we just got some new people on the market, from some from outside the core, just from the community. So that was really cool. But mostly it's made of officers and soldiers from our core. So we have a social media person who handles that. And that's me. That's my job. Then we have our officer, who's like the admin. She's kind of the final word on everything. And she also does things with like permits for the city, because there's something involved with that. And it's technical, and I don't know what it is, but the captain does. So that's good. And we also have another person dedicated just for working with the vendors, answering their questions, handling their contracts and their payments and things of that nature. Then the other people on our committee are there for brainstorming, just like in our last meeting, a lot of the vendors have donated like an item or two for promotional purposes. So at our last meeting, we just looked at all the things that had been donated and put them together in bundles so that we could promote them as giveaways, so people would share and like and comment on our social media posts to get the word out there.
And I, Nikki, a few years ago, I asked her to create basically a guide for how to do this. So I'll definitely share that on the website when we release this episode, and a few of the other tools you've shared, because that's
Nikki
been awesome.
Did a great job putting that together. And when we went over it later afterwards, we were like, wow, this sounds like a really good thing. You should do this. Oh, wait, that is what we do. So that was
that
fun.
That was ours. We did it. Wow, that's really awesome. And before you, I don't know if you do this every year, but at least one of the years, a big chunk of the fundraising of the money fundraised, you put towards a core women's retreat. Is that right?
That's what we use it for. And we also use some of the money for our delegates to attend Arise and Shine this past October.
Oh, cool.
So that was really meaningful for the ladies who were able to go, because otherwise without this fundraiser, they wouldn't have had the opportunity. And yeah, we do host, not every year, because we like to also have a men's retreat and then a couples retreat and a core retreat. So every couple of years, we'll do a women's retreat strictly for women from our core. And just use it as a time to get to know God better.
Awesome. Okay. The other question I had with that was, this is becoming like a staple event in Royal Oak in the community. Have you seen any new relationships form from the community to the Salvation Army or anything like that as a result of this event?
Yeah, I think we're seeing less people under the impression that our core is the thrift store, and they know more that this is a place that serves the community. It's a Christian organization. This is a place that I could come to. This is a place that has something for me. I go to MOPS on Tuesday mornings, and the MOPS moms already knew about it when I showed up and wanted to tell them about what we have going on for them. So that was really cool. They were like, oh, yeah, I went last year. I love it. I'll share all your posts.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, that was really encouraging.
Such a neat opportunity to just meet with the community in a different way than typically occurs on a day-to-day basis. Okay, one more social media thing is I had made a post about you being on the Prepare podcast and asked if anyone had any questions. And I'm going to share one with you. It says, when you were a working mom, because you mentioned that you used to be a teacher, or you're a licensed certified teacher, and right now you're not. You're just staying at home.
Yep.
When you were a working mom, how could the core have best ministered to you, to your family, when you were a working mom?
Yes. I have thought about this a lot. And I don't think my answer is an easy answer, unfortunately. But I think it would be the thing that would have helped me the most was, or is still, even as a stay-at-home mom, for the core and the division to have a stronger focus on men's ministries, for there to be a stronger ministries where men are being discipled. Like, it's because women's ministries is not just crafts and social stuff. It's not just fellowship. It's really deeper than that. It's encouraging more on a spiritual level among believers, but then it's also very biblically based in learning the Bible. And it would have helped me the most as a mother and wife and just as a woman believer in the church, if there was a stronger presence like that in our core, specifically for men.
I think a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah.
And if we are truly egalitarian, then really that needs to be more equal.
Yeah. That would help me the most to have the men supported. I know that doesn't seem like it directly affects me, but it definitely does.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay, Katie, last question. Where do you hope to see the Salvation Army 10 years from now?
Oh, lots of things. I hope to see the Salvation Army grow in numbers, but also to be able to measure the growth in a more, I don't know, comprehensive way than just numbers. Like, I'd like to see us to knowing our Bible even better so that we can identify false teaching at, like, really quick and be able to share our good news with people in a way, like, beyond just, well, this is just what we do. We do this because this is what we do. Like, I want to see us stronger in apologetics, like, in a really natural, like, this is who I am. This is my life. This is what I believe kind of way. So it could be conversational. So we could make disciples.
Yes. Awesome. Wow. 28 minutes jam-packed with a number of great. Because on social media, I always make a quote image to share on Instagram. I definitely heard a few in there, Katie.
Got some sound bites.
Got some good sound bites to share. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up and just say thank you for giving some time to me and to our listeners to share from your experiences to help prepare our listeners.
It's one of my favorite things to talk about, so thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie, for giving your time and thought to our podcast. I personally learned a bunch of new concepts and ideas that I want to try out in the near future. Okay, so I need your help, listeners. We want to feature more women's ministries, secretaries, and leaders on the Prepare podcast. We want a variety of core experiences to be represented. So if you have any guest suggestions, we want to hear them. Please write to sarah_mikula@usc.salvationarmy.org. sarah_micula@usc.salvationarmy.org. With suggestions, please tell us who, where they're from, and how their experiences and wisdom can help our listeners feel prepared and equipped for tomorrow. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.